In the late 2000s, we saw an influx of British artists making their way to North America and each having success. We had Adele, Duffy, Estelle, and more, but there's one lady who all these artists have to thank for the increased interest in British acts around that time, Amy Winehouse. When North American audiences got a listen of the Back to Black album, its influence was undeniable. From the gut-wrenching lyrics to the bluesy instrumentals and soulful vocals, Back to Black took the saying, work of art, to new heights. With extreme success usually comes some form of extreme tragedy, and that juxtaposition is synonymous with Amy Winehouse's story. So pour a glass of wine, get your vinyl players out, and get ready to get Back to Black with Amy Winehouse. Welcome to Planet 2000s, a place where we celebrate pop music's most iconic moments from the most iconic decade in pop music history. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Planet 2000s podcast. I'm your host, Michael Kadosh. Today we're going to be talking about Amy Winehouse. And for those of you guys who were listening to music in the 2000s, especially in the late 2000s, you definitely have to remember when Amy first came out and how she, at least in North America, kind of came out of nowhere and then was just this huge success. But unfortunately, she came around in the time of the paparazzi era. She was more known for her behaviors and for her wild stories than for her music at some point. But when it came down to the nitty-gritty, her music was out of this world. And today, we're going to be honoring her and her music. Back to Black was the second and final studio album by British singer and songwriter Amy Winehouse. It was originally released on October 27, 2006 through Island Records. The majority of the album's lyrical content was centered around the tumultuous relationship between her ex-boyfriend and eventual future husband, Blake Fielder Civil, who at the time of the album's inception had left Amy to pursue his ex-girlfriend. The album follows the themes of guilt, grief, infidelity, heartbreak, and trauma in a relationship, something that I'm sure a lot of you guys listening understand. It was around this time, the time of this relationship that is, that Amy said that she rediscovered 60s music that she loved as a young girl, and she even told Rolling Stone in a 2007 cover story, "When I fell in love with Blake, there was 60s music around us a lot." She said that in 2005, the couple were spending lots of time at a Camden bar, and she would listen to blues, 60s girl groups, and Motown artists constantly in that bar. She was working on her album at that time, so naturally the sound bled into her own work, and thank God it did.
I think all the stuff I was listening to, like a lot of doo-wop, a lot of 60s soul, Motown, girl groups, they'd make a song cinematic almost, just, you know, because there wasn't a lot going on then, you know, and I like that, I really like that drama. I really like that. And I loved the sentiment. I mean, songs like My Boyfriend's Back, you know, that's a great song. And there's also really I just like the sentiment of that time where it's like when you're in love and you know, so much music nowadays is so like, you don't know me, I don't need you. And all the music then was kind of like, I don't care if you don't love me, I will lie down in the road, pull my heart out and show it to you. Do you know what I mean? You know, I love all that. I love that kind of drama.
The album is a soul, R&B, and neo-soul album with inspirations from pop music from 60s girl groups. Amy collaborated with Salaam Remy and Mark Ronson, along with the Dap Kings, in order to capture the sound of that time in her music and make it come to life.
Soul is guts, it's heart, I guess. That sounds so cheesy, but it's true. You know, it's something that controls you, definitely. Something you can't ignore. I'd say to sing soul, I think you have to have grit. You have to be able to see through people's shit sometimes. You have to be able to see through the world. You have to be able to be withdrawn sometimes. And you have to be able to be your own best friend as well. It's important, as well as your own worst enemy.
The songs were recorded between 2005 and 2006 at Salaam's Miami studios, as well as Mark Ronson's recording studios in New York. The album was mixed in Amy's hometown of London, and Mark Ronson actually said in a 2010 interview with The Guardian that he loved working with Amy because she was so blunt when she didn't like his work that she in turn thought that when they first met, he was a sound engineer and that she was expecting an older man with a beard. Around that time that Amy was working on the album, she also kind of fell into a dark space of drinking, heavy drug use, and an intense weight loss.
I was in a relationship, you know, I fell bang in love with someone and it didn't really, you know, it didn't do me any favours. I mean, it did in the long run, I suppose, but it's just funny because, you know, I really want to be careful about what I see. You've got to choose your words very carefully, haven't you? And I'm the least guarded person I know, you know. I think when I wrote Back to Black, I was left in a situation where I wasn't working. And when I split up with this fellow, I had to go... I didn't have anything to go back to. I guess when you pick up the pieces after a relationship, you go back to what you know, you try and throw yourself into something. And I had nothing, you know, I wasn't working. So I guess I was just going, playing pool every day for 4 hours, just getting drunk, you know, having to be carried home in a wheelbarrow. Other silliness. Not literally, but, you know, so it was, it's about back to a black mood, I guess.
Blake left her, so the music got really dark, because she was still working on the album. She wrote the bulk of the album right in the thick of her substance abuse problems, breakup and grieving period, and that's how we got the immense pain that Back to Black album oozes. Amy and Blake got back together in early 2007 once the album was already out, but, you know, that heartbreak came from that relationship.
I think at times, yeah, you do have to suffer for your art. I'm quite eager to be like, no, of course not, you can sing so about happy things, but I think you do have to suffer for your art, you know. I know I have. I know the reason it took me 3 years to write another, not to write it, but to get that big chunk of my life that I could then go back and write about. The reason it took me that long is because I had to, you know, have some peaks and troughs, definitely. I mean, when my boyfriend says to me, you're addicted to heartache, I'm like, that's nice. What's coming around the court? And what are you about to do to me?
There were 5 singles released from this record: Rehab, You Know I'm No Good, Back to Black, Tears Dry on Their Own, and Love is a Losing Game. So why don't we get into the singles, shall we? I'm very excited to tell you guys about this new company that I've been working with. In our COVID times, you know that small businesses are booming right now, and this small business is one that I can ride or die for: Jaden Collections Boutique. Jaden Collections Boutique has everything from fun accessories like jewelry, bracelets, and masks to keep yourselves protected from COVID, to personalized crew necks and t-shirts and other different clothing items. Small business mama that is making it happen for herself. If you guys go on her Instagram at Jaden Collections Boutique, you can take a look at all the fun things that she has to offer, and also the link to her website. If you guys decide to purchase a little something, make sure to enter the code PLANET2000 in the checkout in order to get 20% off of your order. That is PLANET2000 to get 20% off of your order at Jaden Collections Boutique on Instagram. We love to help out a small business, and we love to see them thrive at Jaden Collections Boutique. Back to the pod. Rehab was the first single released from Amy Winehouse's smash album Back to Black, and it was released on October 23rd, 2006. The song was produced by Mark Ronson, and the lyrics are both autobiographical and quite straightforward in nature, telling the story of Amy's refusal to check into a rehabilitation clinic. Something that, while iconic as a song, is a sad story, as she desperately needed help, and her spiral only worsened, unfortunately. She put that into her work and into her art. Mark Ronson was interviewed by Zane Lowe in 2011 on BBC Radio 1, and he said that when he was walking down the street with Amy, they were in New York, they walked into some store and she wanted to buy a present for her boyfriend, and she was telling him about a specific time in her life that Amy had hit a certain low, and her dad came over to try and talk some sense into her, and she was like, he tried to make me go to rehab, and I was like, no, no, no. And the first thing that he thought was, ding, 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 like, that's a song.
The reason I write the song is, I was drinking a lot. I did some really silly things. I think at one point I drank so much that I had to go and stay with my dad. My managers of the time came to my dad's house and said to me, we want to take you to like a rehab center. I write about things that I personally can't really get past, you know. I had to write songs about it to be able to have something good come out of a bad situation.
In Amy's father's biography, Amy, My Daughter, Mitch Winehouse confirms this story. The Rehab music video was directed by Phil Griffin and totally has the perfect bluesy feel. Amy's band is there playing their instruments and she sings to the camera. One band member is even dressed similarly to Donny Hathaway, whom Amy references in the song. She ends up in a rehab center at the end of the video though, the irony of it all, because she never really went in her real life. The song truly was Amy's breakout hit. Her first album, Frank, hadn't cracked the worldwide market, but Rehab blew it open.
I was in New York. I was walking down the street with my friend Mark Ronson, who produced half the album. And I said as a joke, like purely as a joke, I sang the hook. And he goes, and he was laughing, and he goes to me, He goes to me, who's that? He was like, who is that? That's funny. And I was like, well, I just made it up. It's nothing, it's stupid. It's a novelty song. I'm used to writing songs that take me a year to write about horrible, you know, about getting your heart stamped on. So, because it's such a silly little song, I was like, we could do it in 5 minutes, come on.
Rolling Stone categorized it as a Motown-style winner with a banging beat and a lovesick bad girl testifying like Etta James. While People magazine called the track instantly memorable, Billboard remarked that Winehouse's vocals on the song were Shirley Bassey meets Ella Fitzgerald and called the song a better buzz than a double gin martini. Speaking of which, I could use a drink right now. Rehab ranked number 7 on Rolling Stone's list of the 100 best songs of 2007, and Amy eventually earned the coveted cover of Rolling Stone magazine. And it was all from the success of this song.
Yeah, it's cool. It's nice, isn't it? You never think that something you never think people will hear it, let alone think it's, you know, whatever. You know, I'm proud of it. I love it. I'm really proud of what, you know, my record. I'm just pleased other people like it as well.
On February 10, 2008, Rehab won 3 Grammy Awards, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best Female Pop Vocal Performance. The song reached number 1 in Hungary and Norway, number 2 in Israel and Spain, number 3 in Portugal, number 5 in Croatia and Denmark, number 7 in the UK, and number 9 in America, making it Amy's first and only American top 10 single. So this song did amazing things, and even further than its chart placement, it's lived a whole different life. And it really is one of the most iconic songs of our time. It's kind of a shock that it didn't go to number 1, because it is one of those songs that is just so memorable and everybody knows it. It's so synonymous with Amy's story. It goes down in pop culture history as one of the true great rock and roll moments, at least in my opinion. The bluesy hip-hop inspired track You Know I'm No Good was the album's second single and was released on January 5th, 2007. This was in the UK. Amy's North American breakthrough happened a little more towards the mid of 2007. The song, which was originally recorded as a solo song, got the remix treatment with a verse from Wu-Tang Clan's Ghostface Killah, which appeared on his own album. The music video to this song was directed by Phil Griffin, the man who directed the video for Rehab, so Amy was continuing her working creative relationship with him. And Amy is filmed in various settings in the video, which include a bar, bedroom, and bathtub. Critics reacted very positively to the song upon its release, and the song was actually chosen as iTunes' single of the week as a free download that week, the week of January 15, 2007. Now, just an FYI for you guys who don't really remember what the single of the week on iTunes was. iTunes, obviously you pay for your music. It was basically Apple Music, but you pay for every single song. Like, streaming wasn't a thing. That was so not something that you thought was possible. You paid for every song if you downloaded it legally, that is. But they had a free single of the week every week that you could download for free. So You Know I'm No Good was decided to be the single of the week that week, and it widened its awareness. Billboard magazine found that the track in original form could be no better. However, they acknowledged that the Ghostface Killah remix added a ferocious sword and sputter at the midsection. And People magazine called the track instantly memorable. This track was actually Amy's first entry on the US Billboard Hot 100, as this and Rehab both debuted on the same week on the chart. And Frank, like I said earlier, that album was not released in North America until after Back to Black in November 2007. The song eventually reached number 18 in the UK and number 77 in the USA, and it also hit the top 10 in Belgium, Netherlands, and Switzerland. She performed this song at the Grammy Awards along with Rehab live from London.
No, nothing I do is like, listen, I'm just a musician, yeah. I don't think about who's going to hear it, who's going to buy it, who I'd like to hear it or buy it. I only make music that I would like to hear. That's all I've done. I'm lucky that I've been able to make it.
Back to Black is the title track from Amy's album, and it is actually my personal favorite song of Amy's, next to Valerie. It is widely considered to be one of Amy's signature songs, and it has been covered by the likes of Andre 3000 and Beyonce.
Yeah, I suppose it's lovely, isn't it? You don't ever hear people like that would ever hear what you do, let alone put a thing on it.
Both Amy and Mark Ronson co-wrote the song, and this track is the exact depiction of Amy's life at the time of writing. As I explained earlier in the episode, when her future husband, then ex-boyfriend Blake, left her for his ex-girlfriend.
I mean, it's important for me to represent myself, but I don't know about other girls, you know, I'm not a girl's girl. Girls need to bring themselves forward though, you know, and you know, I was never part of a scene where I was the leader of a bunch of Jewish girls that sung jazz, you know what I mean? I don't know anyone like myself, you know what I mean? So, so yeah, But I know that if I am honest about myself and honest about my time and what I do with my life, you know, I know there's girls that will hear that in my album and be like, yeah, I felt that. And I'm not a dickhead, I did felt that, and it's cool. Why do people feel this? You know what I mean? That's what I'm here for. Because, you know, I've been through times where I've been so fucked up about a situation that I've had to just be like, write everything down, you know, even feelings that I don't want to acknowledge, especially feelings that I don't want to acknowledge and things that I wish were not true and they are. And, you know, it's just good because someone else might hear that and be like, I'm not an idiot for feeling them things, or I'm not weak for feeling them things, or I'm not a mug for feeling them things about this man, you know what I mean?
The song's lyrical content consists of a sad goodbye to a relationship, with the lyrics being quite upfront. Sal Cinquemani, who has written for Slant Magazine, said that the protagonist's lover may be committed to cocaine instead of another woman. I don't think that that's too far from the truth. Back to Black has sometimes been considered as a reference to heroin, but this actually is inaccurate because Amy's heroin use didn't begin until after she got married in May 2007, as confirmed in the Amy documentary that came out.
After he came back from America, married, that was the first time Amy tried crack cocaine and heroin. I'd used by then, enjoyed it. It completely eradicates any sort of negative feelings. And then Amy tried it with me, and it just got a grip of both of us really quickly from then.
Amy.
Yes, sir.
Come in here.
Hi.
Oh, change the record. Just come on.
The track has a throwback feel that majority of the songs on Back to Black have, the soul 60s girl group sound. And the music video was directed by Paul Griffin and features a funeral service. The tombstone read RIP to the heart of Amy Winehouse. However, that headstone was actually edited out of the video after her death in 2011, simply because many found it to be in poor taste, given the circumstances. That's right, Neil Patrick Harris, I'm talking to you. The video is shown in black and white and compares the doomed love affair to that of a funeral, the death of that passionate whirlwind love, if you will. Writers over at Rolling Stone magazine ranked the song at number 98 on their list of the best songs from the 2000s, and the song has been certified platinum in the USA, Switzerland, Italy, and Greece, while earning a 2x platinum certification in the UK. It has peaked to number 8 in the UK, 3 in Italy, number 1 in Greece, and number 6 in Israel. The song currently has over 565 million streams on Spotify, making it her most streamed song. Just because the song may not have charted as high in America, I bet you anything that everyone in that country knows the song. You know, the charts just worked differently back then. So it wasn't where you just listen to a song and it'll chart. It was very different. Radio had a lot to do with it. The fourth single from the album was Tears Dry on Their Own, and it was released on August 13th, 2007. It samples the soul classic Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which is performed by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. For my younger listeners who may not know,
Tears Dry on Their Own is about, I was with someone that I couldn't really be with, and I knew it wouldn't last, but I think because I knew it couldn't last, it's kind of like saying, you know, I'm upset, but I know I'll get over it, I guess.
Critics have described the song as a Motown-influenced pop song. I mean, given the Motown sample, I don't think that that's too far-fetched. The video for Tears Dry on Their Own was directed by none other than my favorite photographer and director, David LaChapelle, and shows Amy making her way down Hollywood Boulevard and in a dim motel room. And more notably, the then-unknown YouTubers Trisha Paytas and Jeffree Star appear in the video as extras, so that's kind of iconic. Not Jeffree Star, but definitely Trisha Paytas. I hate Jeffree Star. The hotel room in which Amy is in during the video is a nod to the ones that she would stay in while she was waiting for her soon-to-be husband Blake to arrive from his drug binges. God, it's like the stories along with her life and the music really are just so synonymous, and it's kind of insane to me. The video, unfortunately, was the last video that Amy ever filmed before her death in July 2011. As we all know, her issues with drugs became way too intense and she never made another album. Tears Dry on Their Own charted at number 16 in the UK, and it is her fourth longest running single on the UK singles chart. It has earned over 266 million Spotify streams. Finally released as the fifth and final single from the album, Love is a Losing Game, and it was released on December 10th, which is my brother's birthday, so happy birthday. She wrote every song on the album, but some of them had co-writes and some of them were written by herself. This was one of them that was written by herself. And it was produced by Mark Ronson, and it shows Amy singing about how she can't win at love no matter what. She was destined to fail at love from the start. It is a soul song, and it exudes the pain and sorrow of a true blues classic, you guys. The song was loved by audiences and critics alike. George Michael, the late, great George Michael, named the song as one of his 8 choices of his favorite songs in a UK radio show, while another late, great legend, Prince, covered the song live and actually was even joined by Amy herself when he performed the song at the final show of his 21-date residency at the O2 Arena in September 2007.
Prince today did a press conference in the UK where he's just announced kind of 20 dates all in a row, and he's requested you.
What?
Did you not know this?
No.
So he went and did a press conference in London today announcing 20 dates. This is going to be the last time he ever performs all of his greatest hits before he goes off to travel the world and study the Bible. And he said one artist's name that he would like to come on board and perform a song with. And that was you.
Prince is going to study the Bible.
Yeah. Listen, stay to the point. He's
asking
for you.
Prince is going to be a rabbi. I'm the last. Listen.
Does that blow your mind still when you know, so many artists have come up to you and said, listen, we want to work with you to have Prince?
I'm going to Minneapolis, see you later. Prince! Yeah. I hope I can do it, though. I don't know why I'm smiling. I really hope. I mean, I'll drop everything to do that.
Well, he said it only yesterday. That must blow your mind.
Yeah, but I don't know.
How do you do it? How do you make sure that you stay grounded? You know, not even
stuff like that doesn't make me go, oh, I must be the nuts. Stuff like that makes me want to do it tomorrow and the night after, you know. I just want to find out now. I want to find out after this. I want to find out how solid that is.
Okay.
Gonna see.
Well, he said it, and if he said it and you were able to do it, would you do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
In later years, Sam Smith covered the song for the re-release of their debut album, In the Lonely Hour, in 2015. Miss Winehouse also performed the song at the 2008 Brit Awards, as well as the 2007 Mercury Prize ceremony. It reached number 33 in the UK and has earned almost 153 million streams on Spotify. So, do you guys think love is a losing game? I do, and Amy sure did, but you guys tell me your thoughts in my DMs, please.
I just wanted to take a moment to let you guys know where you can find me on social media. I am on Instagram at Planet2000s, or you can hit me up on my personal page at Michael Kadosh, C-A-D-O-C-H. If you guys want to talk about some good old pop music or just reminisce about some good times, then make sure to hit me up there. I'm also on Twitter or Facebook at Michael Kadosh. Back to the pod.
Amy began promoting the album with a few headline performances at the end of 2006 in London. Most performances that she was doing were smaller, but then in the summer of 2007, Bruce Willis requested to present her performance at the 2007 MTV Movie Awards, and that's when she became a must-see performer in America as well.
Just announced the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah.
Huge show.
Yeah.
You've performed at festivals in front of crowds. Is it more nerve-wracking? I mean, do you still get nervous? Is it more nerve-wracking doing those big TV shows or doing those big concerts?
Neither, I suppose. Neither, it's adrenaline, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not easy, it's nice, it's fun.
And the MTV Movie Awards, very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. I suppose stuff like that's more nerve-wracking because you worry about what you look like on telly rather than how you set, you know. And at the same time, you can take it again if you have to, but you
right.
don't want to break up the all the atmosphere and all that.
There definitely was that shift from being, you know, an underground artist in terms of Americanized to being like a pop act. And that's kind of when that happened. She performed at the famous Glastonbury Festival, Lollapalooza, and more. And she began a 17-day UK arena tour in the fall of 2007. But it unfortunately was kind of a fail due to Amy's heavy drug use and issues. So what happened was in November 2007, on the opening night of the tour, everyone was booing her and there were a ton of walkouts. This was in Birmingham, UK at the National Indoor Arena. A critic for the Birmingham Mail said that it was one of the saddest nights of their life. He said, I saw a supremely talented artist reduced to tears, stumbling around the stage and unforgivably swearing at the audience. Other concerts ended similarly, with, for example, fans at her Hammersmith Apollo performance saying that she looked highly intoxicated throughout, until she finally announced 10 days later,
in November that her performances and public appearances were canceled for the remainder of the year, citing her doctor's advice to take a complete rest. But obviously, you guys, she was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and it was really sad to see. She was kind of so far-fetched past the point of addiction that she couldn't even perform anymore.
A new bottom for the troubled singer Amy Winehouse. She's canceled part of what was supposed to be her comeback tour after a disastrous performance in Serbia. The five-time Grammy winner with so much talent was booed off the stage after stumbling through several songs.
At this point in her career, the promotion of the album was simply her erratic behavior, very similar to 2007 Britney in the sense where she was just on the cover of magazines and paparazzi were everywhere following her every move. What's different here is that she was a drug addict, and it was so rough to see. But the media was eating that up. The media was so dark at that time, and they loved to see somebody fall. And they saw that Amy Winehouse was somebody who was falling, and so they made sure to capture every single moment. And it's pretty sick. Entertainment Weekly critic Chris William named the Back to Black album the second best album of 2007, commenting that Back to Black will hold up as one of the great breakthrough CDs of our time. He was right. In 2007, Amy won British Female Solo Act at the Brit Awards, but most notably took over the 50th Annual Grammy Awards on February 10th, 2008. She won Record of the Year and Song of the Year for Rehab, Best New Artist, Best Pop Vocal Album, and Best Female Pop Vocal Performance as well for Rehab. Mark Ronson won Producer of the Year Non-Classical as well. The album itself debuted at number 3 in the UK and ended up reaching number 1 in its 11th week, has since been certified 13 times platinum in the UK, making it the second best-selling album this century in the UK. In America, the album debuted at number 7, becoming the highest debut entry for a British act in America, which was broken later by Joss Stone. Following Amy's multiple wins at the 50th Annual Grammy Awards, the album jumped from number 24 to a new peak of number 2 on the Billboard 200 chart issue dated the 1st of March 2008 with sales of 115,000 copies that week, eventually being certified 3 times platinum, and the album has sold over 16 million copies worldwide. After the release of the album, record companies sought out more experimental female artists such as Adele, Duffy, VeVe Brown, Florence and the Machine, and they all have Amy Winehouse to thank for their immense success. In March 2011, the New York Daily News ran an article attributing the continuing wave of British female artists that have been successful in the United States to Amy and her absence from the music industry. At that time, she hadn't died yet. According to Keith Caulfield, the chart manager for Billboard, he said that because of Amy, or the lack thereof, the marketplace was able to get singers like Adele, Estelle. Oh my God, that rhymed. I didn't even realize. In 2020, Rolling Stone ranked the album at number 33 on its list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. And in September 2018, a documentary film based on the Back to Black album titled Amy Winehouse Back to Black was released. And this is on top of the other documentary, Amy, which came out. So Amy's just such a polarizing figure in pop culture, and she was around for such a short period of time. And that just goes to show how important this album is, because for such a short period of time to have such a lasting impact, you know, it's got to be great. It's got to be talent. Everybody knows the Back to Black album, and everybody knows the name Amy Winehouse, and everybody knows the song. Try to make me go to rehab, but I said no, no, no. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and take a listen to Amy's Back to Black album and reminisce a little bit and get back in your feels. Pour that glass of wine, get that vinyl player going, and just escape. All right, you guys, I'll see you next time when we talk about Rihanna's A Girl Like Me. Have a great day. Love you all. Bye.